This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Turning up the heat on Mueller. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay on this Thursday, August 2nd. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump calls on Attorney General Jeff Sessions to shut down the Mueller probe.
The U.S. threatens higher new tariffs on China.
Vice President Mike Pence has received the purported remains of some U.S. troops killed during the Korean War.
And just who is new EPA head Andrew Wheeler?
Well, Pruitt was certainly a flashier sort. He was a former Oklahoma attorney general, so he was elected. He was out in public. He was very comfortable being out in public. Wheeler's a much more meat and potatoes kind of guy. He's behind the scenes, knows the law, knows the ins and outs, knows the nuts and bolts. Not particularly flashy, but a guy that many think may be more effective.
Ledge King of USA Today has a profile of Wheeler. He'll be here in about 10 minutes. President Trump urged Attorney General Jeff Sessions to end the Russia investigation right now before it continues to stain our country any further. The Twitter comments renew public pressure on the nation's top law enforcement official to halt a probe that has resulted in charges against his former campaign officials and more than two dozen Russians. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says the president's tweet was not an order, just his opinion.
The entire investigation is based off of a dirty, discredited dossier that was paid for by an opposing campaign and had a lot of corruption within the entity which was overseeing it, which was Peter Strzok, James Comey, Andrew McCabe.
Critics say Trump's latest tweets show he is trying to derail the Russia investigation. Delaware Senator Chris Coons.
Robert Mueller is a decorated Marine combat veteran, lifelong Republican, was appointed to be FBI director by a Republican president. The idea that this is a witch hunt undermines the rule of law and discredits the work of our professionals in law enforcement.
The president's comments came a day after the opening of a closely watched criminal trial involving Paul Manafort, Trump's former campaign chairman, who is fighting bank fraud and tax evasion charges. It's the first trial by prosecutors for Mueller, who is investigating Russian interference in the 2016 election and possible coordination with Trump associates, as well as potential obstruction of justice. The U.S. is again turning up the heat on China, with the Trump administration threatening to more than double proposed tariffs on imports, while Congress passed a defense bill designed to restrict Beijing's economic and military activity. This morning's Mike Gavin has more.
The moves come as Beijing and Washington have failed to ease an escalating trade dispute, prompting the administration to seek additional leverage. The administration says it will consider more than doubling proposed tariffs on a further $200 billion worth of Chinese goods to 25%, up from an original 10%. Meanwhile, the Senate has approved a defense policy bill that both tightens U.S. national security reviews of Chinese corporate deals and revamps export controls over which U.S. technologies can be sent abroad. The bill, which also restricts Beijing in areas ranging from cultural activity to military exercises, passed the House last week. President Trump is expected to sign it into law. Jen.
Thanks, Mike. Administration officials are confident they have the upper hand in the trade fight, but that confidence so far hasn't translated into action. Preliminary talks by Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and China's vice premier haven't produced even a plan for additional trade negotiations. Vice President Mike Pence is crediting North Korean leader Kim Jong-un with fulfilling a promise to return the remains of some U.S. troops killed during the Korean War, a step he says shows progress toward easing tensions on the Korean Peninsula.
I know that President Trump is grateful that Chairman Kim has kept his word, and we see today as tangible progress in our efforts to achieve peace on the Korean Peninsula.
Pence spoke at a ceremony marking the return of the remains, which were handed over by North Korea last week and then flown to an airbase in South Korea before their arrival yesterday at Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam. A military honor guard carried the flag-draped cases from a pair of C-17 transport planes into the hangar where Pence spoke. The U.S. now begins an intensive effort to identify the remains. Forensic analysis will be used to confirm that the remains are those of U.S. troops. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said recently the contents of the cases could include soldiers from other countries who fought in the war. It's 11 minutes after the hour.
We'd like to welcome a new sponsor to the show, Untuck It. You know, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long and not too short. It's just right. And not only do they look good, they feel great. And if you're a woman, by the way, wishing you can have one of these, well, Untuck It now makes shirts for women, too. Log on to untuckit.com and check out all the new arrivals. Use the promo code GORDONDEAL for 20% off your entire purchase. You can also visit one of Untuck It's over 25 retail locations across the country. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code GORDONDEAL for 20% savings. Again, untuckit.com and use the promo code GORDONDEAL for 20% savings.
Jennifer Kashinka in along with Rasa Kay. During his first congressional hearing as acting administrator of the EPA, Andrew Wheeler fielded questions about environmental policies, not ethics. It was a big change from hearings that involved Scott Pruitt, Wheeler's predecessor, who was felled by numerous investigations of his spending decisions and alleged ethical missteps. So who is Wheeler? Ledge King of USA Today is here to fill us in. Ledge, what is Wheeler's background?
Well, he's held a number of positions, mostly in D.C. He's been he's a former EPA staffer in the Office of Toxics. He is a longtime Hill staffer, was a general counsel to the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. And the last job he held was as a lobbyist, an energy lobbyist, representing a number of energy interests. For the past several months, he's been the deputy administrator, and then when Scott Pruitt left, Andrew Wheeler ascended to the top job where he's now in an acting capacity.
Ledge, how is he different personality-wise from Scott Pruitt?
Well, Pruitt was certainly a flashier sort. He was a former Oklahoma attorney general, so he was elected. He was out in public. He was very comfortable being out in public. Wheeler's a much more meat and potatoes kind of guy. He behind the scenes, knows the law, knows the ins and outs, knows the nuts and bolts. Not particularly flashy, but a guy that many think may be more effective because he's so familiar with how to get things done, and he's not saddled with the scandals that Pruitt had to face every day, practically.
Pruitt went into the job with both guns blazing, so to speak, and sued the Obama administration multiple times. Do we expect that kind of litigious action from Mr. Wheeler?
Well, I mean, you know, in the case of Pruitt, he was outside the EPA trying to undo a lot of what the Obama administration had done on things on like the Clean Power Plan, which speaks to climate change, carbon emissions. The Waters of the U.S. rule, which was seen by many, certainly conservatives, as an overreach of clean water rules. So Pruitt sued to undo that. Wheeler he's already kind of stepped back a little bit. He's analyzed the best way to go about carrying out the Trump agenda, which includes doing a lot of those things. For example, on the Clean Power Plan, the EPA will come back with a replacement, which they have to under the law. But it'll be crafted in a way that at least Wheeler supporters say will be defensible in court and will stand up.
We're speaking with Ledge King of USA Today. Your story notes that Wheeler announced last week the administration will no longer fight an Obama-era decision to limit the sales of certain heavy-duty vehicles known as glider trucks. What's that all about?
Well, the glider trucks are essentially remanufactured trucks, diesel engines that are high polluting engines, and Pruitt had reopened the Obama administration came in and said we're going to stop or put a limit on how many of those glider trucks can be sold. Pruitt said no, we're not. We're going to lift that cap, and Wheeler decided that following a court decision that essentially agreed with the Obama administration to temporarily at least keep the cap in place. Wheeler said last week, well, you know what, we're just going to formally withdraw that. We're going to not pursue that. And his supporters would say that that's kind of an evidence of his pragmatic approach. If something looks like it's not going to pass or it has some issues, don't reintroduce it. Don't keep, you know, doing the same thing over and over. Try something new. So something may come out down the road, but for now, not gliders.
Thanks, Ledge King of USA Today. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Jen, the Justice Department says three senior members of a notorious Eastern European hacker group have been arrested and are facing charges, all Ukrainian nationals. They're part of the Fin7 cybercrime ring that in recent years has breached companies ranging from Saks Fifth Avenue to Omni Hotels and Resorts to Whole Foods and Chipotle. From Europe to China, stock prices slid today on renewed trade war jitters after the White House confirmed a tougher stance on tariffs. Informal talks between Washington and Beijing have made no headway, and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says the Trump administration wants to more than double levies on $200 billion worth of China-made goods to 25%. Death Valley had the hottest month in American history in July with an average daily temperature of 108.1 degrees Fahrenheit, the peak hotspot in a state under a broiler of searing heat that's been feeding wildfires north and south. The sprawling Carr wildfire is now 35% contained, but some 15,000 evacuees have not been allowed home. In Redding, police have made 17 arrests for looting. The Ferguson fire is about 39% contained, but Yosemite National Park officials say heavy smoke will keep it closed to tourists until at least Sunday. The suspected killer of President George H.W. Bush's former cardiologist is considered armed and dangerous and may be suicidal, according to Houston police. 65-year-old Joseph Pappas is believed to have fatally shot Dr. Mark Hausknecht while both rode bicycles last month to avenge his mother, who died during surgery 20 years ago. President Trump's been accused of being out of touch with voters after saying Americans need identification to go shopping, ID not generally required except for buying alcohol or in some cases for credit card purchases. White House spokesperson Sarah Sanders emphasized the ID discussion was about identifying legal voters.
Even if there are 10 people that are voting illegally, it shouldn't happen. The president wants to see the integrity of our election systems upheld, and that's the purpose of his comments. He wants to make sure that anybody that's voting is somebody that should be voting.
Advocacy group TargetSmart reports voter registration among 18 to 29-year-olds is up 2% nationwide, but a state-by-state analysis shows a potentially outsized impact in key battleground races in the midterms. In Pennsylvania, voter registration among young adults increased 16%. Arizona shows an 8% increase, Virginia 10.5%, and Ohio 6%.
Something to keep an eye on. Very interesting.
Signing them up.
Thanks, Rasa. It is 23 minutes after the hour. Yes, we are living in a gig economy. And if you need a side hustle, some jobs are easier and better to get than others. Kyle Kensing, online content editor at CareerCast, is here now with details. Kyle, how do we define gig economy?
Gig economy is really kind of the buzzword for a pretty traditional form of independent employment. So this essentially means that you're not a full-time 40-hour-a-week employee for a company. This can mean that you work on a contract basis on temporary projects, or you work freelance for multiple different outlets all at the same time. The gig economy refers to, even though the terminology itself is relatively new, the actual practice is not.
And does it cover all age groups, and has it changed in recent years?
You know, it's interesting because, like I mentioned, the terminology has become really in vogue of late. But it's not that much more prevalent than it was, say, 20 years ago. And actually, in the mid-90s is when it hit its peak. So it's not necessarily booming anymore now than in times past. And really, this can kind of apply to any age demographic. It's something that might be associated a little bit more with the younger generation, whether that's millennials or Generation Z, the youngest sector of the workforce. But really, pretty much anybody can fulfill these jobs within the gig economy.
All right, Kyle, since many jobs have moved online, give us some examples of jobs that are good in a gig economy if you're sitting at your desk or at home.
Yeah, it's fascinating because with the growth and improvements in telecommunications, you know, the fact that you can have a Skype teleconference with people all over the world, you can work in something like, for example, marketing and PR are two positions that are great if you're in the gig economy because you can take on clients from all over the world and work with multiple clients at the same time. So you can kind of have multiple balls juggling in the air all at once. So those are two great professions as far as using the technological advancements. And then the IT sector itself, whether it's web development or application software developers, those are some great positions for the gig economy as far as telecommunications and IT go.
We're speaking with Kyle Kensing, online content editor at CareerCast, on the absolute opposite side of that are people who need to do some work in homes. We seem to have a great need for people like plumbers and carpenters.
Yeah, exactly. You know, construction was the hardest hit of all the industries during the Great Recession. And in particular, skilled trade positions really went away. And now as construction starts are starting to pick up quite a bit more, we're seeing this demand for those high-skilled specializing positions in construction. So if you're a carpenter or a plumber and you're really high level, you can work on multiple job sites at the same time. So this is kind of a new twist a little bit on the gig economy, working for multiple employers all at once.
Thanks, Kyle. Kyle Kensing, online content editor at CareerCast. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
As Facebook faces all kinds of issues, a lot of users have threatened to get rid of it. Are they really getting rid of it? MarketWatch's Maria Lamagna took a look at the pros and cons and is here now. Maria, did users really disconnect?
So after the Cambridge Analytica scandal, you know, a lot of people were upset about Facebook mishandling their personal data. A lot of people became aware for the first time that Facebook has these relationships with outside companies that use the data that we enter onto Facebook. And a lot of people did threaten to delete Facebook. And at first, Mark Zuckerberg said it wasn't really making any impact. But the company just reported earnings and said they saw a drop of 3 million daily users in Europe. They also saw a flattening in the U.S. and Canada. So we are finally getting to a point where Facebook isn't growing as fast as it once was, which is sort of stoking concerns among analysts about, you know, the future of the company.
Were people dropping Facebook because of the data scandals, or is it more of the younger people who think this is absolutely not cool anymore?
I think it's a combination. You know, Instagram, Facebook also owns Instagram. So if you use Instagram, you're still in the Facebook universe. And obviously there are more competing social networks now. You know, Snapchat didn't exist several years ago, and there are more options now. So I think it's a combination of both. But as far as the daily user drop in Europe, a lot of that was after the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, first went into effect. And, you know, the companies actually had to disclose more obviously how they're using data. And a lot of people actually jumped ship after that. So it does seem to be at least partially related, you know, directly to the data concerns.
We're speaking with Maria Lamagna of MarketWatch. Maria, physically, how easy is it to get rid of Facebook on your phone or on your desktop?
So a few people that we spoke with for this story actually said it was more difficult than they expected it to be. It was, you know, there's a little bit of a waiting period after you actually try to deactivate your account for it to not show up at all. And one guy that we talked to said, you know, when you search my name, a sort of blank profile still came up. So we did talk to people who had issues with deleting the service entirely. It's much easier to deactivate it, but to actually get rid of it and wipe it from the internet is a little bit harder.
For the people who did get rid of it and were happy about getting rid of it, what made them happy about deleting Facebook?
So there have definitely been studies about social media and how it impacts your emotional well-being. So some people sort of spoke to that, that it's sort of a relief to not feel like you have to always update and, you know, you're not comparing yourself to other people in the same way, which can be a good thing. A lot of people said, you know, it just wasn't really interesting to me anymore. There wasn't really anything on my feed that I feel like I'm missing. So, you know, for the most part, at least for the small sample size of people that we spoke with, they seem to be pretty happy with their decision.
Maria, on the flip side, some people wanted to get rid of it, but then found that they really missed it. Why?
Yeah, sometimes there are those occasions when there's someone you're not in super close contact with, but, you know, you don't want to miss out on major, major events like, you know, major life events that you should maybe check in about, maybe the birth of a new baby or a death in the family or something like that. So we did speak to someone who said, you know, it took a while for her to find out about an acquaintance's major life event, which, you know, sometimes maybe that doesn't matter to some people, and maybe others would feel more of a need to reach back out. So it, I guess it just depends on how, you know, who you are and what you use Facebook for. And we also talked to someone who said, you know, it's actually a little bit harder to verify identities of other people now. He uses Facebook to kind of identify people that he hasn't met but is thinking about going on a date with through dating apps. And not having Facebook himself is a little bit harder because he can't go online and sort of vet people before he meets them in person.
I think an interesting aspect, and you touched upon it, is finding out about people's deaths. It's certainly not a way you want to find out, but you know, we know people don't read the newspaper anymore, or
right,
they don't see newspaper obits, and unfortunately, it is a way to get that news.
Exactly. I think that sort of is our new way to find out, which is sad. But I definitely have had that experience of finding that out, you know, people from high school or people that you don't talk to all the time, people from your hometown. So, yeah, unfortunately, that is something that is kind of useful in a sad way.
And Maria, in a less sad way, email addresses and phone numbers. A lot of people don't email anymore, or it's kind of like the people you have as a contact in your phone and you don't really know their phone number. You just push one
right
button. Now we do that for a lot of things on Facebook.
Exactly. So yes, it's, you know, you might not have a sort of Rolodex of people's email addresses anymore, especially if you've never emailed them before. So sometimes it is hard to kind of come up with a secondary way to contact them if Facebook isn't an option.
Thanks, Maria. Market Watch's Maria LaMagna. It's 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay. Reminder, we can connect on social media. Friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. Time to go beyond the headlines. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's the holy grail of baseball cards, which few people have ever seen or certainly touched. That makes it all the more amazing that two New Jersey brothers struck gold while searching through their collection of old baseball cards when they found five 1952 Topps cards that feature New York Yankees legend Mickey Mantle. The Associated Press reported that the siblings, who wish to be identified only by their first names, John and Ed, said the most valuable card from the group was valued at $1 million by an auction house. John, who transferred the cards to his basement after their mom died in 2006, said he was offered $8,000 for their entire collection sometime around 1980, but thankfully decided to hang on to it. He added no decision has been made about how to spend the money, with the most valuable of the cards currently part of an auction that runs through August 19th. A 52 Mantle card was recently sold by NFL offensive lineman Evan Mathis in April for a cool $2.88 million.
The best part of your story, John and Ed, who do not want to be identified any further than that.
Yeah, suddenly rich John and Ed, who don't want anybody coming out of the woodwork looking for money all of a sudden. I remember when I was collecting baseball cards 30 years ago, that 52 Mantle card even then was the most valuable card, and I guess still is. The most valuable one I ever had, I think, was a Mark McGwire card from 1984 that was worth like $50.
Does this still smell like bubblegum?
Yes. And that's a problem, too. If your card smells or looks too much like bubblegum, it's going to take the value down. So you want to make sure you get the one that's not near the gum that's in the pack. The one that's right in the middle, that's the sweet spot.
No stains from the gum.
Exactly. And we know you don't like snake stories, Jen, but this one would have to qualify as good news for anyone who fears large slithering reptiles, especially in Northern California. Residents in Redding can breathe a sigh of relief now that a 14-foot python that went missing after a pet store was evacuated during a wildfire has been found safe. A woman who owns a shop appropriately named Redding Reptiles says the snake was placed in a plastic bin and brought to a home after flames moved closer last week. She says the lavender albino reticulated python named Eris slithered out of the bin and out the door on Saturday. During a search of the neighborhood in South Reading, residents were urged to keep their small pets indoors, though the store owner tried to allay fears by saying the snake really only has an appetite for chickens. She says that Eris, the snake, was discovered, coiled up in a milk crate, and says that the python is doing well. So I know she's into snakes. Obviously, she knows how to handle snakes. She's a snake expert. But you figured she would have a better place to put the python when she brought it home than inside a, like, basically a bin. You know, she just sort of put it into a plastic bin in her house someplace. Maybe someplace slightly more enclosed and better way of keeping it under control.
You know that your last snake story prompted people on Twitter to send me pictures of snakes.
I know. I'm well aware of that. But again, this is good news.
I already saw this 14-foot python. Yes. I don't want to see it again.
I didn't do the story when I found out that it escaped. I only gave it to
That's you
when
news.
I found out
it's
it was
not.
It was captured.
So now
you can rest easy, sleep well tonight. And everyone in California.
I hate you. It's 13 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Gordon Deal with some time off. Thanks for spending part of your morning with me, Jennifer Kishinka and Rasa K. In. It's official. Chicken is responsible for more illnesses associated with outbreaks of foodborne pathogens than any other food product, according to a new report from the CDC. In total, 12% of food-related illnesses were linked to chicken. After chicken, pork and seeded vegetables caused the most illnesses due to contamination by foodborne pathogens at 10% each. While chicken led to more illnesses, other foods, fish and dairy, prompted more pathogen outbreaks. To produce its findings, the CDC analyzed more than 5,700 outbreaks from 2009 to 2015. The outbreaks were responsible for more than 100,000 illnesses, and 145 of those led to death. One particular multi-state outbreak involved salmonella in chicken, which occurred in 2013 and 14. That caused the second most hospitalizations of any single outbreak, exceeded only by a 2015 salmonella outbreak tied to cucumbers. The poultry industry, not pleased with this report. A spokesman for the National Chicken Council notes that the meat and poultry industry is one of the most heavily regulated industries in the country. It's 8 minutes before the hour. Rasa K is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Jen, the Justice Department says three leaders of an Eastern European group that hacked companies in 47 states and Washington, D.C. have been arrested and indicted. DOJ says the Ukrainian cyber thieves stole millions of credit and debit card numbers from major U.S. retailers and restaurant chains in recent years. Few answers at a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing into foreign influence campaigns a day after Facebook revealed new disruption efforts on its platform. Less than 100 days before the midterm elections, lawmakers are grappling with how to deal with foreign governments using online disinformation campaigns to disrupt the American electorate. President Trump's upping the ante with China by proposing a higher 25% tariff on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says Trump directed the hike from a previously proposed 10% because China has refused to meet U.S. demands while imposing retaliatory tariffs on American products. Officials with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement say no child died while in the South Texas Family Residential Center near San Antonio, but they're investigating whether a child died after being released. A Houston immigration lawyer had made the claim on social media. California Fire Director Ken Pimlott says the extended fire season in his state has made summer 2018 a wearying, smoky blur.
In past decades, we may have seen a fire like we're seeing now in August or September. We are routinely now seeing fires reach 100,000 acres several times in 1 month, and it's in July.
Blast furnace heat and shifting winds are feeding flames across dust-dry undergrowth, challenging more than 4,000 firefighters attacking Northern California's Carr Fire, which has killed at least six people. More than 1,000 homes are gone, hundreds more damaged. On the plus side, that fire is now 35% contained. With the football season looming, Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer has been put on paid administrative leave while the university probes how much he knew about 2015 allegations of domestic violence against recently fired receivers coach Zach Smith. At last week's Big Ten Media Days, Meyer claimed to know nothing about it. But that was potentially contradicted by a media report that included text messages and photos between Smith's and Meyer's wives.
Thanks, Rasa. It will be interesting to see where this one goes. A supermarket employee in Louisiana is being praised for letting a young customer with autism help him stock the store shelves. When Jordan Taylor, who works at a market in Baton Rouge, noticed Jack Ryan watching him refill the coolers, he offered to show him what to do. In a video taken by Jack Ryan's dad and shared on Facebook by his sister, Jack Ryan and Taylor can be seen working together to put milk and juice on the shelves. Ryan's sister thanked Taylor for helping her brother, noting that grocery stores can be a challenge for someone with autism. She says Taylor took the time to slow down and allowed Jack to help him for over 30 minutes, guiding him as he finished the task. She added that Taylor could have ignored her brother and made an excuse, but he let him have his moment and gave her family a moment they won't forget. People who saw the video were so impressed by what Taylor did, they decided to start a GoFundMe page to help raise money to send him to college. Taylor says he loves math and might want to be a teacher someday. $1,700 was raised within the first 2 hours. Now, the GoFundMe page is up over $25,000. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.